Well, Norman actually addressed a number of questions that we're in the process of trying to answer at Purdue. So I'm going to give you a quick rundown of what we're trying to do at Purdue to bring context, but also you need to know that we're doing this in an engineering technology program, not in engineering. So some of what we're doing may or may not apply to engineering, and you just need to know that ahead of time. But I believe there are a lot of similarities, because at the end of the day, to try and do some of these things, you're really trying to change a culture. And we all live in that same culture of higher education that's been hardened, if you will, over the last century. And so I'm actually thinking about, after listening to Sheila, writing my own book. It's called They're Not Dumb, They're Different, and that's engineering technologies. But we are different.
Okay.
But there are some applications, I think, go along with it. So let me start off by saying that here's one of the challenges, and there's actually been a study. You've all probably heard of the NE report, Rising Above the Gathering Storm.
Yeah.
Well, they actually did a follow-up about 10 years later, and in 2010, they found that little progress was actually made in spite of all the advice and things that you could do to transform engineering. And it's primarily because what they found is everyone tried to do incremental steps. And I think that you need to think very carefully about that, whether you think that you can move towards a more liberally educated engineer, if that's your goal, by trying to do it incrementally. That report shows that those kinds of things normally fail because they aren't sustained. It usually becomes a single champion. That champion moves on or whatever, and suddenly you've lost everything that you've tried. This all comes down to culture change, which I'll talk to a little bit later. But the problem is where do you start? And I have to say this. I had to laugh a little bit. If you look at the agenda, okay, for our session, This is what we're trying to do in engineering and technology education. We want to emphasize active learning, engineering design, project and problem-based learning, study, work abroad, online enhancement of courses, entrepreneurship, service learning, what else do you want to put on the backs of the faculty and programs? And so how do you possibly do all that and do an effective job? Well, I believe that the only way to do it, and this is the approach that we've taken at Purdue, is to do it in an integrated fashion, not through standalone, well, we're going to do an entrepreneurship course, right? Or we're going to do something that's problem-based learning. And it's done in an incremental approach that doesn't necessarily work, but you have to do it in an integrated approach. And then we're taking the idea that what we're really trying to do is prepare graduates for the 21st century, and we're actually more interested in the competencies that students gain when they leave rather than the degree or the test that they've taken. How can you measure competencies? So we're trying to develop competency-based degree programs. Now, this is being done at a program that has about 3,300 undergraduate students. So we did an experiment last fall led by Fatma Milley, who is here, and Bob Herrick, also from Purdue, and you can ask them a lot of questions about living it. They also are in their 20s, but they don't look it. It was a transformative experience for them, too. But it was a very, very challenging kind of thing. And so our approach is to do it in an integrated fashion and not piecemeal. So the biggest problem in my or challenge, I should say, I'm sorry. The biggest challenge comes down to faculty. It's about people. You know, you can have the grandest ideas in the world, but somehow you have to transfer that grand idea, that passion, that reason for change into the minds and hearts of the faculty. And it's not just the minds. When we started down this path, we gave them all kinds of facts and figures on why you had to do this. And, you know, that went so far, but then it kind of wore off. You have to get to their hearts, and that only can be done over time. And then you have to find out who what we call the early adopters are. And so we created faculty fellows, and we incentivized them to help us with that. So we got the willing to participate, and they became the champions. And that's one of the things that we do. But the challenges are you have things like faculty governance. You know, if I were a CEO of McDonald's, which wasn't too good right now, but if I was a CEO of McDonald's, I can try and do things in a more forceful manner, right? So faculty governance is a challenge, and you have to work with that as best you can, because the last thing you want to do is have faculty suddenly turn this into a battle for other reasons. You know, let's keep on topic. Let's not bring up other things that's going to make things worse. You have faculty tenure, and what does that really mean? And how does that factor into what you're trying to do? Because in many cases, you know, you have people that are very accomplished researchers, and you ask them to think a little bit more deeply about what they're doing in their classroom, which isn't natural for many faculty. You have the research, you know, how much pressure there is to bring in funding. You have teaching, you know, what does it really mean to be a faculty in the 21st century with all the pressures that they have? And then you go in and say, oh, by the way, the way you've been lecturing for the last 25 years, don't do that anymore. That doesn't go over too well sometimes, right? And then you have, as I said, the culture. And I can't remember who said this, but there's a quote that says, culture eats strategy for breakfast. Did you ever hear that one before? Yeah. So that's the problem. It's really a culture change. And a lot of people, you've heard of flipping the classroom? We're taking it one step further. You have to flip the faculty. You have to get the faculty's mind to change. You have to change their hearts along with their minds that this is the right thing to do. And so what we're doing is we're taking an integrated approach. Instead of going to the communications department, and every one of our students at Purdue has to take Comm 114, okay? And so our students have to take Comm 114. How can you go to them, approach the comm department, and say that we're going to change the dynamic here? You are no longer working for us. We want you to work with us. And you change the dynamics in such a way that they get some gain out of it too. And now you look for ways to integrate communications with the courses, and in our cases, the technical courses. That's the true integration. So instead of doing a presentation about why a banana is yellow, which might be a good presentation, let's add another one, which is a presentation about a team-based project on a design review halfway through the semester. And now you've given context to that comm program and context for the student, and the motivation level may improve. We haven't studied this long enough to see if that's the case or not, but that's what we mean by the integration of it. And so those are some of the things that we're doing, and I don't want to take up too much more time. So, all right?
Thank you.